obviously you drew Celtic in the Champions League. Mm-hmm. What did you feel when you first heard the news?
We actually, it was written in the stars to get Celtic.
Did you have a feeling you were going to
We played Fenerbahce in the last qualifier, because we finished second that season. Played Fenerbahce in the qualifier to go there. Beat Fenerbahce home and away. Tough game, obviously, but... And then I was sitting in the restroom and I said to the translator, I was like, 100% we'll get Celtic here. I went, definitely. And then it came out and Celtic were the first... It was like the first team. It was us and Celtic. Straight away, and I was like, Celtic are out here, and then it could only be picked from two pots.
Right.
And they picked out Spartak. So I was like, 100% Spartak here. And it was, but I remember thinking, my phone started going mental, people want interviews and all that stuff, and I just remember thinking, I wonder what kind of reception I'll get going back. And obviously, you're playing against your former team, and I left Celtic on good terms, you know. But I thought, I mean, obviously, everything that happened that I did at Celtic still wasn't enough for some people. You know what I mean? Played 250 games for the club I grew up supporting. Won loads of trophies, won individual awards, but obviously some people were still probably happy when I went. But I remember the game at Parkhead and I was on the bench. I'd hurt my knee, so I'd just back from injury, and the manager put me on the bench and ended up coming on. And I remember going out to warm up and the fans were all clapping me, and I thought it kind of makes the hairs in the back of your neck stand up a little bit, you know. But I could have probably done without it, because I remember the first game we played them, I was probably trying too hard to impress as well. And I remember our manager at the time, you know, Unai Emery, who's the PSG manager. He had a proper go at me at half time, because he liked me as well, but he had a proper go at me at half time, like, you're doing everything wrong, you're not doing what I'm asking you to do, you're running over here trying to get the ball, is this because you're playing Celtic? And I remember thinking, it probably is. And obviously then Celtic ended up winning that game and going through, but like it was good to go back, you know, because I don't really get to go back to Celtic Park much, especially lived in Russia, lived in England. It's difficult to get back to Celtic Park, all my mates have all left, you know, so I don't really know anyone at Celtic anymore. Obviously Bruni's still there, but I don't chat, I've not spoke to Bruni in a couple of years. But
so on the football side in Russia, how different is the football and the dressing room and the managers over there compared to Scotland?
It's really, you're going from Celtic to a pure dressing room environment to over there, my first day at the training ground, you didn't even have a dressing room, you had your own room.
To yourself, aye.
So you had your own room, and because the training's so regimented over there, you would have like one day off a week, you would have a double session, but you train in the morning and then train at like 7 o'clock at night. So you spend the whole day in the training ground, so you've got your own bed where you can sleep in the afternoon and that. But now a lot of clubs in England are doing that,
right,
putting rooms in the training ground for like pre-season and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Kind of a bit of ahead of its time, but so we had that, so you didn't really have a dressing room, so you just get your kit out your little box, go to your room. First thing in the morning, you would see the doctor, and you'd have a maximum weight. So like everybody got a maximum weight that couldn't be over, and if you were over that weight every morning, you get fined $1 a gram. So the fine board at the end of the month, lads were on like $10,000 fines and that. A kilo overweight, it's $1,000. Do you know what I mean? And like Brazilians and that are like, not bothered.
Yeah.
Coming in like a kilo over, half a kilo over every day. Fine board $10,000 in the month, $15,000. Like it was regimented. Uh-huh. There was a lot of fines.
So was there no banter then between the boys?
There was, but when I first went there, obviously the Russian people are quite difficult to get to know at first. They're quite closed. I think it's obviously been years of communism and like the Soviet Union, but once you get to know them, great lads, work hard, professional. Great lads. Like after the first 6 months, I started to love it.
Would you just go on nights out and stuff like that?
Amazing for nights out. Like the manager was actually really good for that. He would always bring all the lads together and say, "Team day out. We're going to this bar or whatever." And then you'd have dinner, and then all the lads would go out together.
When you first moved in, you couldn't speak the language. Was that difficult?
It was difficult, because you're going to like a different alphabet, Cyrillic. You know.
Right. I don't know about that.
Cyrillic, man. Did you go to school? Cyrillic's like, it's not. The letters are all different, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like a code, you kind of have to get used to it. But then I started picking up the language and then just getting by, and you hear it every single day. That's the easiest way to learn a language. You hear it every day and you hear the same things, and then you ask people. But obviously we had a translator there who spoke English, Russian, Portuguese, Spanish. So he was doing kind of the interpreting for the manager, like four different, like he was only the interpreter there, but he would do like four different
languages
at one time. They also killed you a few times as well. Killed you. I only found this out, like I remember arguing with the manager once, and he was like, he was having a go because the video analysis over there was really heavy as well. You'd have like video analysis every day of the manager going through training, going through games, who you're playing against on the Saturday. Spent a lot of time in the meeting room there, but he had a go at me about something anyway, and he was like, I was kind of arguing back with him, and he was like, what age are you, five? He said it in Russian, and then the translator's asked me. He says, what age are you, five? And I went, tell him, aye, I'm five. But he then went to the manager and says, yes, he says he's 25. And then the manager just dropped it. And I was thinking, that was weird how he just dropped that there. And then when I came out of the dressing room, I was like, you know, he wasn't actually saying what you were saying there. A couple of lads who can speak English.
Aye, I'm five.
Aye. It was really different. The manager who signed me was really, he was very strict.
Was it Carpin that played the Celtic?
Carpin's like an absolute Russian legend as well. Like, he was a manager that signed me, but some of the things that I seen over there were just that you would never see across here. Remember we had that really...
Going mad at people and stuff like that?
No, not really going mad at people, just other things that happened involved in football.
Football,
like,
right, yeah.
We played, we had quite a bad start to the season, the season after that. We lost the first four games of the season, we're bottom of the league. And the manager comes in and goes, right lads, got a meeting today. The heads of the ultras are coming. So you have, like, the Spartak fans were like passionate, like really, they were really, really good fans. But they'd proper ultras as well, who just sing the whole game. They'd fly everywhere as well. You'd fly to like Siberia, 5 hours on a flight for an away game, and they would be there, filled the away section. Unbelievable fans. But he was like, oh, the heads of the ultras are coming in. And I was like, so that's about. It's like, why the heads of the ultras coming at the training ground? So he invited them all in. They obviously were trying to get to speak to us, and he obviously went, yeah, he's come, lads. So there's like six or seven guys coming, and the main guy who was talking, who was the kind of leader, he was quite, just looked like an ordinary guy, but the rest of them were all skinheads, tattoos everywhere. So he just starts speaking, kind of quite a nice manner. Like, he was angry, but he was saying, like, you know, we have to get better. We support you through everything, but we need more from you. But then while he's talking, there was this guy next to him who was just swearing in Russian and like pointing at people, like all the Brazilians. So like the translator's translating for the Brazilians, and one of them, striker called Wellington, we get beat off Porto in the Europa League quarter final. We lost 10-2 in aggregate. That was when Porto had Hulk, Falcao, they were unbelievable, to be fair. Beat us 5-1 away from home, then 5-1 at home. And he went out, I think he was spotted out after the game, and one of the guys says to him, if I ever see you in a nightclub again after a defeat like that, I'll take your face off you. He said that to the striker, and I was like, what is going on? I was like, what's going on here? And then, so this guy kept shouting and swearing, and then at the end of it, they were like, look lads, like, we just want you to do well, we support you through everything, so good luck next game, we'll be there. Come over and clap us, you know, come right up to us, clap us. And then they walked out, and as they're walking out, they've all got guns in the back of their jeans.
Oh my God.
I was like, what's going on here? How are they allowed in the training ground with guns? It was mental, but that was just one of the ones that stuck out for me there. But remember also the Unai Emery, he got the sack in the dressing room one day.
Chairman came in.
It wasn't the owner. The owner used to come in the dressing room sometimes, right? And he was owned like an oil company. So he'd walk in the dressing room with like eight bodyguards, with guns and all that. And he would say, lads, brilliant, great game today and that. But this other, kind of maybe second in command, he would come in the dressing room more. We played Dynamo Moscow, lost 5-2. It's a derby. It's not the biggest derby, but it's still a derby. And the chairman comes in the dressing room and he's like, to my Emery, and I finished. And then he was like, I don't care, whatever. And he was like, no, you go, finish. Got the sack in the dressing room.
Just walked out, that was it?
Just walked out, and I was like, has he just been sacked here? And all lads were like, nice, that's him, finished.
Definitely.
Finished. I'm glad as well that I did it, because I remember when I went there, people were saying, he'll be back within 6 months, this guy. I did nearly 4 years, and Spartak wanted to keep me as well. They wanted to, they offered me a new deal. And I was like, nah, I've done nearly 4 years, I want to go. And they could have sold me 3 or 4 times, and they declined every time.
I remember you were linked to a few teams,
So Zenit wanted to buy me when I was out there, so did Angie, you know, when Angie were throwing, throwing serious cash around. And I was like, I don't want to, I said, I can't play for anyone but Spartak, really.
Because the guys will come and get you.
Probably, I can't, but save my house. Sniper.